work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping, and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's stamps.com/program.
You're listening to Rami Makhlouf.
I hate the Packers, but I'm surrounded by these people.
Leave me alone.
Bart Winkler. Bart, how are you this evening, my friend?
It's good to be with you, Rami. Good to be with you, Chicago.
The Bears.
When the Bears do beat the Packers again, it's going to be worse, and it will be treated like some sort of Super Bowl victory, and it's going to be very frustrating to deal with, but that day is coming.
Good snap. Good hold. The kick on the way by Santos, and it is good! The Bears' losing streak comes to an end on the final play of the regular season.
Hey, go Pack, go the home.
Rami Makhlouf on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's me with you for the next 3 hours. And Tyler Buterbaugh on the other side of the glass. A great job putting together that open and a great job booking tonight's show up. We'll talk with Ant Heron. No need to introduce or tell you who he is to score fans and listeners. He'll be here at 6:20. Lomas Brown, former Detroit Lions offensive tackle. We'll get his thoughts on Ben Johnson and maybe what the Bears can do to get this head coaching hire right. He'll be here at 7:20. And Mike Golic Jr. of Gojo and Golic, he'll be here at 8 o'clock to talk some college football playoffs and just what the Bears should do. And that'll be much of the topic of conversation here for the next 3 hours. And of course, you are always welcome at 312-644-6767. And I do have a question about this Bears coaching hire in just a second for you at that number, or and you can call, you can text, whatever you want to do. Hell, you can leave us a voicemail. Just go to the Odyssey app, search for The Score, and use that voicemail function, and you can answer the question I'm going to ask here in just a couple minutes. But since Tyler opened the show with that great open and the Bears beating the Packers on Sunday, I was on the air on Friday and I was like, I don't really care if they win this game to the degree that I don't think you should play Caleb Williams. And then the game started getting played, and of course it's Bears Packers, and I'm sitting there on my couch, and yeah, I got into it. Yeah, I got up off my couch and I fist pumped when that Cairo Santos field goal went through the uprights. Yeah, I clapped a little bit when that happened. And then I asked myself, Rami, were you wrong on Friday? Were you wrong? Should the Bears, was it the right call to go out there and compete and run Caleb Williams out there for game number 17 with nothing to gain? And no, I don't. I don't think I was wrong at all. And I still would have done the same thing. So I'm not backing down. And as a matter of fact, they cost themselves, I think, 4 spots. In the draft, kind of wish they lost. I'm just gonna say it. Kind of wish they lost that game, even though it did feel good. It did, in the moment, feel good to beat the Packers. And I could wear my Bears hat a little more proudly as I walked around my front yard in the city of Milwaukee and surrounded by Packers fans behind enemy lines. But still, no, I don't change my mind on that. Not even a little bit. I still wouldn't have played Caleb Williams. Cool while it was happening, but big picture perspective, stepping back from it, nah, didn't do a whole lot for me. I don't think it made anybody a whole lot better, which is what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to do, is make the Bears better. And obviously that starts with the head coach hire. And you've been hearing a lot in the last 24 hours about who this is going to be, who they're talking to. We heard a lot from Hallis Hall today, from the main players in terms of who will be making this decision and the hire. And of all the names that you've heard, I want to know from you, Bears fans. And again, you can call or text 312-644-6767, and I will continue to read those texts. You can leave a voicemail on the Odyssey app, as I said, and we'll play those throughout the show if you decide to leave those. I'll be giving your answers to this throughout the show from now until 9 o'clock. The coach you'd be all in on and the coach you'd be out on, Bears fans. 312-644-6767. Let's just put it on the line. Let's not dance around this thing. Let's just lay our expectations down and tell me who's the coach you'd be all in on, and it would actually get you excited, or as excited as you can be about Bears football at this point. That's a conversation we'll have later in the show. And the coach who, if they made that hire, you'd be like, what the bleep? What did they just do? What did I just witness? What is this news from, you know, Adam Schefter or Mark Grody or Herb Howard or whoever it is that breaks the news of who the next Bears head coach is going to be, where you're just going to be sitting there, head in hands, going, what? Huh? That's the guy? That's the guy they decided to hire. And then on the flip side, who's the one that you'd be all in on? Where you're like, what? Huh? That's the guy. You know what I mean? Same words, different tone. Who's the coach you'd be all in on, and who's the coach you'd be all out on? Like I said, a lot of names have been out there. Some of them we heard before the coaching search started officially and in earnest. Some of them new names. We know about Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, Lions offensive and defensive coordinators, respectively. Here's one I hadn't heard a lot about. Dolphins defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver. Cardinals offensive coordinator Drew Petzing. Giants offensive coordinator Mike Kafka. Vikings defensive coordinator Brian Flores. That's a common name to football fans. Steelers offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. Again, common name to football fans. Ravens offensive coordinator Todd Monken. And Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy. Also heard that they had requested to interview the former Stanford head coach. Oh, and I had his name in my notes here, and now I can't find it. There it is. David Shaw. They've been requesting an interview. So that's like 10, 11 names that I just gave you right there. Who's the coach you'd be all in on? Coach you'd be out on? 312-644-6767. I'll start with my in, the guy that I'm all in on. And this is not, look, I'm playing chalk here. All right, I'm not, this isn't like some off-the-wall, crazy take or opinion. No, this, to me, the home run hire, the grand slam hire is Ben Johnson. And I don't know if that means that it necessarily works. I can't say that it necessarily works, but that's the big name on the coach in the coaching cycle this time around is Ben Johnson. And I don't know that the Bears have ever gone and gotten that guy in a coach hiring cycle. But they've gone out and gotten the guy that everybody's pointing to and going, yeah, he looks like he might be the next thing. He might be the next big thing. I don't know that that's ever happened in my life. Correct me if I'm wrong, 312-644-6767. You can also tweet me, at Rami is tweeting. People love to correct people on Twitter. So that to me is the home run hire. And we know the stats, top three in every offensive category for the last 2 years. Rehabilitated the career of Jared Goff there in Detroit, has every trick play up his sleeve. He's got guys pretending to fall down and fumble on the field and then throw 50-yard touchdown passes. Like, it's crazy. Some of the stuff that he's done from an offensive play caller standpoint is pretty innovative and really piques your interest. If you're somebody who's looking for an offensive-minded head coach and Bears fans, and if you listen to what the Bears are saying, seem to be looking for just that. But beyond just the numbers and all that stuff, I was reading Dan Pompey, great piece in The Athletic, about Ben Johnson's journey, his relationship with Jared Goff, et cetera, et cetera. And this quote from Jared Goff: I've been around a handful of great coaches who became head coaches in the league, and he reminded me of them, says Goff. And at first I was like, who's this guy been around? What does he know? The following line, who played for Matt LaFleur and Kevin O'Connell when they were assistants, in addition to Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Bengals. He also played for Sean McVay. I don't think he wanted to compliment Sean McVay because of how that relationship ended, but that's also a pretty good coach who he's been around. And that speaks to, I think, more than the X's and O's and the offensive mind that this guy might be or might not be. That speaks to the thing that we don't know about him, which is like the leader of men thing. I think that's what Jared Goff is alluding to there when he says, I've been around a handful of great coaches who became head coaches in the league, and he reminded me of them. So that's a solid endorsement for me that just backed up the fact that I wanted Ben Johnson to be the head coach. I think he's the home run hire. That's the guy at the top of my list and the guy I'm all in on. As I'm asking you, who are you all in on, all out on for the Bears' next head coach hire? 312-644-6767. You can also leave a voicemail on the Odyssey app. I'll read text and play voicemails throughout the show. And if you want to get in on the phones, I'll try and squeeze in a couple of you before I talk with Aunt Heron coming up here at 6:20. Now, who I'm all out on, that was easy for me to say, who I'm all out on, it's a pretty long list of guys. It's a long list of dudes. And this is probably unfair. Maybe not the smartest way to approach my coaching hire, but I'm not Ryan Poles. I'm just telling you as a fan how I would react. I don't want anybody who I've barely heard of before this coaching hire cycle. I don't know if that makes any sense to you. I need either, like, and I'm not saying they have to have been head coaches before. Ben Johnson hasn't. But he's like a hot name in the hiring cycle right now. Brian Flores comes with some name value. Mike Vrabel comes with some name value, who I think is going to interview for the Bears job tomorrow, according to what Spiegel and Holmes said on the way out. Arthur Smith has a little bit of name value. Todd Monken has a little bit of name value. You go, oh yeah, that's the guy who's been working with Lamar Jackson the last couple of years. But man, if Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren and George McCaskey are sitting up there at the podium with an Anthony Weaver or a Drew Petzing or a Mike Kafka. And by the way, Giants offensive coordinator Mike Kafka.
Who the f*** is that guy?
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. That's what I'm going to be sitting there saying. I need somebody who I've heard of before. At least, that's at the very least, I need somebody I've heard of before. And that's just like the emotion of a. I think Bears fans need that, man. We need a little certainty. We need a little something we recognize for us to get the least bit excited about this next head coach and what he might do. I don't want to be sitting there on the day they announced the Bears head coach saying what you just heard Conor McGregor say right there. I can't. If it's Johnson or Glenn or Flores, Monken, cool. These are names I've heard. These names that just pop up at the last minute, a Petzing or a Kafka, nah. I'm good. That's just like a psychological thing. Those guys might be great head coaches someday in this league, but you're going to have a hard time selling me on a guy who I didn't hear of before, you know, 3 weeks ago. Or that the nerdiest of football fan hasn't heard of. Now, there is a guy right in the middle, and I'm asking you, who are you all in on? Who are you out on as the Bears' next head coach? That I feel like people have a lot of strong opinions on. And I think they're a little bit unfair. And it's Mike McCarthy. He's not at the top of my list. He's not the guy I'm all in on. But I feel like a lot of people are all out on Mike McCarthy, and I don't fully understand that. Mike McCarthy is one of the better candidates for this job. I'm just going to say it. Not the guy, but one of the better candidates for this job. And the track record, I don't know how people argue with this. I wasn't about to curse. I was about to say fight. I don't know how people argue with this. 18 seasons as a head coach. 174, 112, and 2 is his regular season record. 11-11 in the playoffs. Has a Super Bowl. In 5 seasons with the Cowboys, 3 12-win seasons, a 49-35 record. He's won 11 playoff games. The Bears have won 11 playoff games since 1963. You're going to turn that guy away? You don't want anything to do with a guy who himself has won as many playoff games as the Bears, as an organization. Cool. And just, we're talking, look, this whole thing revolves around Caleb Williams, right? I think we all are on the same page about that. And it seems like the Bears are on the same page about that. And I'm glad to see it. Dude, Mike McCarthy and quarterbacks is turns out to be very good for those quarterbacks and the fans of those teams. He gets to Green Bay in 2006. Brett Favre in 2007 has his highest passer rating since 1996. And had, let me see here, 28 touchdowns to 15 interceptions. Brett Favre had almost a 2-to-1 touchdown interception ratio. And then, I don't know if I need to tell you about Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers, when he got to Green Bay, had some red flags on him, man, and his delivery was funky. And Mike McCarthy works with him for 3 years, grooming him while he's doing what he's doing with Brett Favre. And then the guy goes and wins two MVPs, a Super Bowl, 100 passer ratings every year. Like, and then you go to Dak Prescott, and once Mike McCarthy got there, and he's posting passer ratings and QB ratings that are better than he's ever posted previously in his career. So if this is about Caleb Williams and the offense, and again, a guy with a little bit of name value, I don't know why people are so anti-Mike McCarthy.
So, Rami, Adam Schefter actually just posted from an ESPN source that the Dallas Cowboys denied permission to the Bears to interview Mike McCarthy.
Okay, so that takes him off the list and makes my last 5 minutes moot. Thank you, Tyler. Appreciate that. But I don't know. Maybe it doesn't take him off the list completely. We'll see if Jerry Jones gives him a new contract or if he's available come January 14th when his contract officially expires. I don't know. We'll see. But it seems like for now, at least for the next week, he's out of the running. So that's my who I'm all in on, who I'm out on as the Bears head coach, and then the one right in between, and again, doesn't matter now because the Bears will not be granted permission to interview him, as Tyler just told us. I'm right in the middle on, and I wouldn't hate it. Wouldn't love it, wouldn't hate it, but I think he gets a little bit of a bad rap. Who are you in on? All in on. Who are you out on? Like, nah, I'm cashing in my ticket on the Bears next year. And if there's anybody in between who you're maybe slightly intrigued by, 312-644-6767. I'll read your text to that answer. Text answers to that question throughout the day. And like I said, if you want to leave a voicemail on the Odyssey app, just search 670 The Score. You'll see a little voicemail button. Click on that, and you can leave us a voicemail. We'll play some of those back later in the show as well. I'd love to hear Aunt Heron's answer to this, and I'll get the opportunity to do just that when he joins me, Rami Makhlouf, on The Score Evening Show next, right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You know, when the new coach gets hired, it's going to be my second year, so there's going to be things that I haven't done, things that, you know, we'll need to do to have a long career. And so that's a part of the challenge, is being able to fight the level of comfort, but also provide a new level of challenge. And that's bringing in new stuff that I haven't done. And that's also being able to help me, get more comfy with those things that I haven't done. And then, you know, the things that I do well, be able to maintain and manage those and be able to use those as my strengths.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That was Caleb Williams. You know that, though. And I am Rami Makhlouf. You know that because Big Voice Guy just told you that. And I'm hoping to be joined by Aunt Heron here momentarily. Asked you to start the show. Who's the coach you're all in on? Who's the coach you're out on? Maybe if you want to throw out a name or two that's right in between all that, that you'd be okay with. 312-644-6767 is how you can give me a call. You can give me a text. And like I said, if you want to leave a voicemail, and I'll read some of those texts and get some of those voicemails in as we conduct the show from now until 9 o'clock and get in a few of your calls as well. Hey, are you a local business owner or employee? How would you like to have your commercial air during Super Bowl 59 right here on The Score? This is your chance. We've brought back Score Big for your business, where you can enter to win a 30-second Super Bowl commercial on The Score's broadcast of Super Bowl 59 from Westwood One. Log on to 670thescore.com/contest to enter now and learn more details. Deadline to enter is January 19th. Like I said, hoping to be joined by Aunt Heron here in just a few minutes. We got time to get some of your thoughts in. I'm sorry, what'd you say, Tyler? Oh, we do have Aunt Heron. Okay, you know him from the Big Ten Network, NBC Sports, and of course right here on 670 The Score. My pleasure to welcome in Anthony Heron. Aunt, how are you this evening, my man?
Rami, I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good. Always a pleasure. Always love to hear you on The Score, especially when I'm the person you're talking to, Aunt. Always a pleasure, my man. I'll just ask you the question I asked the listeners to start the show. Give me a coach you'd be all in on, like actually excited about Bears football next year because they hired this guy, and who's a coach you'd be out on where they just kill any flame that you still have flickering for the Chicago Bears right now?
All right, leaving it open-ended. I dig that. It would, for me, need to be a guy who they've traded for a proven commodity. You know, I understand the excitement around Ben Johnson. He has certainly earned that, but I'm a tangible evidence kind of guy, and so I think you go through the process, and if that process leads you to being impressed with Ben Johnson, then go for it, because there's a number of examples of the hot offensive coach who gets that first opportunity as a head man and knocks it out of the park. Multiple examples in the division like Matt LaFleur and Kevin O'Connell. But I'll be most excited about Ben Johnson once I know for sure, you know, once right. he actually proves something as a head coach, and especially because there's the recent shrapnel of that here in the city of Chicago with the guys who don't work out, where we assume that Matt Nagy should be that next guy, and then it just doesn't pan out. So, I mean, if you traded for a Kevin O'Connell, or there were the rumors earlier during the season, like, hey, can you trade for a Kyle Shanahan? Like, those types of guys, if you actually could swing and make that happen, then yeah, man, I'm all in for any of that. But mm-hmm. as far as the, you know, like a Mike Vrabel, yeah, I think there's a more than representative case to make for that. How high a level can you win at? Can you achieve at with Mike Vrabel? There may be a ceiling on that, but I think the floor for Mike Vrabel is obviously much higher than what we've seen in recent years with Matt Eberflus running things here. And maybe the ceiling is beyond it because Caleb Williams is a quarterback that Mike Vrabel hasn't had the opportunity to work with before. So I would certainly support and be, you know, invested in a Mike Vrabel hire. Is that a hire that, you know, makes you a Super Bowl contender? I don't know that we saw that from Vrabel in Tennessee, but there's enough to be excited about with that. Then beyond Vrabel, it goes to who are the coordinator hires from there. And, you know, there's certainly some coordinators I would be less excited about, you know, rumors of Josh McDaniels and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen Josh McDaniels do anything impressive that hasn't been associated with Bill Belichick. So, you know, I think that trading for guys who are already proven commodities that are in-house elsewhere, then, yeah, I think there's a couple of those I'd be very excited about. But it doesn't sound like that's the direction the Bears are going.
Now, you didn't say who you'd be out on. And I didn't name a guy I'd necessarily be out on. And this is more from, like, a psychological, emotional perspective as a Bears fan of, like, needing something. Needing, like, a thread of hope to hang on to. You know what I mean? I need a guy with name value. Like some of the name, some of the names on the list of guys that they've been reported to be interested in or requested an interview with. I've heard their names. I'm an NFL fan, and I see the guys who are on the sidelines or up in the booth on a week-to-week basis that are parts of these coaching staffs. But a lot of these guys, I go, who's that guy? Oh, okay, yeah, he was
Mike
the offensive
coordinator.
So guys like that. That I can't, like, I think Bears fans need, like, some kind of name value to be in on next season and to get excited about. And again, I don't know that that's fair, if that's a logical or reasonable way to approach this as a Bears fan.
The difficult thing with it is that, you know, especially when you kind of, you got first round QB after first round QB, and so the dissipation of faith has been compounded in
yes.
recent years here, in recent coaching cycles, recent hires for head coaches and coordinators that haven't panned out, and recent quarterbacks that we've seen the Bears continue to mismanage, you know, their development. And so I guess the name that would, you know, come in with that proven jazz that could get everyone excited, that'd be the easiest way to go about it. But yet and still, the proof of concept isn't there for the Bears. You know, like, there was no reason at the time to think that things with John Fox would go as poorly as they did with John Fox. That was a man who had taken two different organizations to a Super Bowl appearance. He had done it in Denver. He had done it in Carolina. So bringing in John Fox at that time after Mark Trestman, so you know what? There's a guy that's been there and done that. He's been a great defensive coordinator. He's been a head coach that's led two different teams to the Super Bowl. John Fox at the time made a lot of sense, and it seemed like a great hire the Bears made until it wasn't, and he was here, and things went horribly wrong. And Matt Nagy at the time made a lot of sense. You had the hotshot young coordinator who had studied under Andy Reid. Had he called a play? Had he not called a play? Had he called a series? Had it not gone? You know, there were certainly some worthwhile questions at that point in time. But Matt Nagy was one of the hottest coordinator commodities
True.
In the game.
True.
And then he got here to the Bears, and it went horribly wrong. Like, it started off pretty hot, even though that 2018 season, I did have questions that I was already starting to voice here on the Score when they were on their way to winning the division. But there was a lot that went poorly, especially after that 2018 season with Matt Nagy. So there have been times where you point to the actual hire of the head coach or the actual drafting of the QB. Now, Mitch Trubisky, myself, and a number of others, as soon as they drafted Trubisky, like, wait a minute, why are you trading up for this guy? But, like, Justin Fields? Hey, man, you go get Justin Fields and you have a development arc that could be there. There was understandable. There was reasonable excitement about that, just like this time around, reasonable and understandable excitement about getting Caleb Williams number one overall. And then you see variety of examples of how his development during his rookie season seemingly got mismanaged because of the guys above him, his head coach and his offensive coordinator. So I understand what you're saying, but in the end, unless it is this surefire slam dunk guy, like whether it would have been a Jim Harbaugh last year or trading for some proven commodity this season, I think it will be difficult for yourself and a number of others who are passionate about the Bears to feel really confident in whoever this hire is until there is proof of concept, because there's so much recent shrapnel for getting what feels like the right coach or getting the talented young first round QB and just having it not go well and feeling like it's been mismanaged and like there's no development within the coaching staff, within the quarterback, within other key personnel that's been drafted here. There's just been a lot of negative in recent seasons.
Talking with Anthony Herron here on the Score Evening Show, and you brought up Matt Nagy, and I said in the first segment, Ant, that I don't remember the last time the Bears got the guy in a coach hiring cycle, and a number of people corrected me. They brought up Matt Nagy, also our very own Dave Wannstedt, so I'm very much remiss.
Oh, well, yeah.
Missing out on Wani. That's my bad to the nth degree. I'm talking with Anthony Herron, like I said. Ant, we saw, and we're going to play some clips of it later on here in the show, we saw the power players of the Chicago Bears, Warren McCaskey and Ryan Poles, speak today on the subject of the psychological state of Bears fans and people who are passionate about this football team. How much do you think what we saw up there at the podium sort of put out the fire a little bit for Bears fans after this season? And how much was it even possible to put out the fire after what we just saw? And I think a lot of Bears fans just sitting back and going, words are something, but you got to show me something, you know?
Yeah, I get exactly what you're saying, and I think it's more the latter because of the shrapnel that's here. I mean, think about the season that Caleb Williams just put together. It honestly was a very impressive. I mean, it's frankly the greatest rookie quarterback season in Bears history, but it really meant very little to Bears fans because of so much of the shrapnel that's there from the other couple of QBs and because the expectations were so high and so much this season, you know, was well below the expectations and the standards that we thought were going to be there. So it would have been, I'd say, a near impossible task for the Bears brass to go up to the mic and say anything that really would have kind of rallied the troops and given everyone, you know, a lot of hope about where things have gone here, because a lot of the personnel that's in place, the senior management, has been the leadership that's lost so many games here over the past decade. So until there's results on the field, it's going to be hard to get folks excited. Now, you know, what's your reference about the potential head coaching hire? If there is a head coaching hire, like let's say they go get Ben Johnson, kind of regardless of what that salary ends up being. But Ben Johnson is at least a name that I think a lot of folks would be very excited about. Or apparently, if trading for a coach is not completely ruled out at the moment, then, you know, we see a Kevin O'Connell type. And I was telling folks before this season, between Kevin O'Connell and Sam Darnold, like I saw Kevin O'Connell winning games and being on the cusp of winning games last year with quarterbacks far less talented than Sam Darnold. So I was confident the Vikings were going to be in the mix this year after what I'd seen over Kevin O'Connell's first period of time there with the Vikings. So you get a guy like that, who is now a proven commodity as a head coach and a leader and an offensive play caller, hey, sign me up. And I think everyone should get really excited about that sort of move if it happens. Everything else, you know, it's going to be a question mark. And it's an understandable question mark until we see proof of concept, until we see tangible results that are there from a win-loss perspective, because there was so much before this season that made sense for folks to be eager to watch what played out this year. And frankly, even going back to the Matt Eberflus hire, now he was certainly an unproven commodity as a head coach, but even some of the jargon that was there, Poles and Eberflus talking development, not only development of quarterback, but development of the roster. Previous regime rarely, if ever, used that word. And there's so much of what, you know, ends up sustaining excellence, sustaining winning in the NFL comes down to how do you develop your roster. That's where this current roster has even fallen short. Not just what feel like up to this point some misses at, you know, some of the high-level personnel who've been there and some who are no longer even with the team anymore, but even just the middle and bottom of this roster where you really want to establish your depth, your core, that doesn't look really impressive right now either. So, you know, I think there's been a lot that's been said that feels like it makes sense. And because it has gone so poorly on the field, even just the structure of the team seemingly is up for really deep question now to an extent that I don't necessarily understand. Like, you know, what, why do we think it doesn't make sense that the Bears have an owner, a team president, and a GM? That's the structure of a lot of NFL teams.
Right.
But it's like everything with the Bears is up for question right now because it's gone so horribly wrong on the field. And so when there are results, I think everyone's going to be on board with it and prepared for it. But until then, it's like everything is up for question. And I get it. I understand it. But, you know, there's not a lot that could have been said today, in my estimation, that would have made folks feel better about where things are at right now.
You know, Ant, you've brought up the possibility of trading for a head coach a couple of times. And honestly, if that's a real possibility, that's my number one. If you can go and get a Sean McVay or a Kyle Shanahan, that to me is at the top of the list. I've only been dealing in the reality of, you know, getting guys that are available right now. But what I like about those guys is I do want an offensive-minded head coach, but a lot of these offensive-minded head coaches that are available right now that are coming from the assistant ranks don't have a lot of track record or experience in this league, if any, as a head coach. I'll give you another name of a guy, and Adam Schefter just said that the Cowboys denied the Bears' request to interview him. Another guy who's an offensive mind who comes here with some track record and some success, both in the win-loss column and when you look at the effect that he has on quarterbacks, is Mike McCarthy. But I see the look on Bears fans' faces and the reaction I get when I say, hey, how about Mike McCarthy as the next head coach? And it's usually not a good one. And where are you at on Mike McCarthy? And why do you think there is this perception of him as like a joke or a clown of a head coach when you look at what he's accomplished in this league?
He's accomplished a lot. He's been I think him coming in at this period, if the Bears were going to be able to make it happen, like you just updated, it seems like that's not even going to be an option. But I'd say it would feel like perhaps a souped-up John Fox, where he has won. Mike McCarthy has won a Super Bowl, a Hall of Fame quarterback who he was able to do that with. And then, you know, the, I guess, conscious uncoupling, perhaps, that took place there when McCarthy gets fired in Green Bay. And, you know, he and Rodgers part ways at that point. Why does it take place in the way that it did? I mean, there were certainly clock management issues, timeout issues for McCarthy, game management on the whole. He had a little bit of time away to sort of modernize his approach to football. But, you know, he was a big part of the development of Aaron Rodgers. He has certainly been able to assist the development of Dak Prescott. So I'm not here to tell anybody Mike McCarthy can't coach. I would feel better if the Bears already had a proven commodity, a proven veteran in place, and then maybe you say, okay, maybe a guy like Mike McCarthy can be in to help get things across the finish line, because he's been a successful coach. There's no doubt about that. Mike McCarthy would up the standard at Hallis Hall, but is he a guy who comes in for the next decade and keeps you in that NFC championship picture on an annual basis? I think we've seen enough from Mike McCarthy with all the resources that Jerry Jones bestows upon his coaches and having a Dak Prescott, one of the better quarterbacks in football, and we didn't see Mike McCarthy do anything of substance in the postseason in Dallas, so I don't have any reason to think he'd show up here in Chicago and do much more or even hit that mark, you know, that he was hitting in Dallas. So I think it's mainly that. We kind of have seen the ceiling of Mike McCarthy, and he really hasn't gotten back close to it in a number of years here, so I get why that's not necessarily an exciting name for Bears fans. Now, the idea of, you know, some assistant or some coordinator, like, they're out there. Folks go and find Kevin Stefanski and the like, who, like, oh, you get to Cleveland, or somebody gets to Cincinnati and you pair him with the right D'Amico Ryan's in Houston. I mean, you know, what, 24 months ago, the Houston Texans, there was no bigger laughing stock in football than the Houston Texans 24 months ago. And then you pair D'Amico Ryans, this unproven head coach and a defensive guy, you pair him with a mature, young, talented quarterback, and they have both been to the playoffs now 2 years in a row in the first time each of them have been on the job. And so that's where, you know, I'm not going into this thinking that it has to be an offensive coach. There's a lot where you have congruence of concept and the way the plan can be played out with this young quarterback and his development. So I think best case scenario is an uber talented offensive mind, but I don't think the Bears are in a position where they should be looking to rule out just being blown away by some defensive guy, because maybe you end up with a D'Amico Ryans who gets paired with your version of a C.J. Stroud, and you can kind of nurture his talents and have the right leader in place to help take this thing towards the future. So, you know, I don't know. Like, how do you feel about a Mike Vrabel? You know, you haven't necessarily uttered his name as I've been talking to you here, but it doesn't sound like that would be a guy that would excite you.
I asked you to start the interview who you're all in on, who you're out on, and he's a guy who's in that group in the middle where I'm like, okay, let's show me. You know what I mean? Let's see how this works out. It wouldn't be the type of hire that gets me excited about Bears football next year. I understand the settling presence that he'd have on the organization and set a certain tone and you'd know who's in charge. But at the same time, is he the guy who's going to take it to the next level? Like, he will set a certain level, but is he going to be able to take it to the next level? I haven't seen him do that. And that's what put, and the fact that he's I'm not close to the idea of a defensive-minded head coach.
You're kind of close to the defensive-minded head coach. That's the vibe I'm getting.
It's a knock. To me, it's a knock. I want a coach who's going to come in here and get Caleb Williams performing at a very high level and stay here to get him performing at even higher levels. That's what I'm looking for from the next head coach. You know him. You love him. No need to introduce this guy. He's Ant Heron. Catch him on the Big Ten Network, NBC Sports, Fox Kickoff, SiriusXM College Radio, and, of course, all the time right here on 670 The Score. Follow him on Twitter at Big Ant Heron. Ant, always appreciate the time, my man.
Rami, appreciate you, man. Great stuff as always.
And he joins me on The Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois. I mean, I know it sounds like I'm out on the defensive-minded head coach, but I'm not entirely out. You know what I mean? I'll give the guy a chance. What a quick break on the other side. Like I said, keep giving me who you're all in on, who you're out on as a Bears head coach in the text line. You want to leave a voicemail? Also, time to squeeze in some calls, 312-644-6767. But how many people are picking the Bears' next head coach? That's coming up next right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That goes into, you know, our SVP group on the business side. I think it's really important. Kevin and I talk about all the time, just the continuity between football and business. That's one thing we take a lot of pride on here. So it's important when we get to the right phase that they're involved as well and become familiar with our staff. And I think that's important because it's a part of the family that's here, and they support football and football supports business, and it's a beautiful relationship, and that's something we take serious here.
What? What did I just hear? What did the Bears general manager just say? The new head coach has to meet with the SVP people and the people on the business for what? Does he need to keep track of ticket sales? Of advertising revenue? What? And I was listening to Spiegel and Holmes on the way coming in to the studio, and they said exactly what was the first thought that popped into my head when I heard him say that. Which was Theo Epstein, who had a very finite philosophy of keeping those two worlds separate. What does the head coach need to know about the business side of things for? He doesn't have enough on his plate? By the way, the Bears Director of Football Administration, Matt Feinstein, Senior Director of Player Personnel, Jeff King, and Chief HR Officer, Liz Geist, will join Ryan Poles, President CEO, Kevin Warren, and Chairman George McCaskey on the interview panel. Assistant GM Ian Cunningham will, when time allows, as he seeks GM opportunities. How many people does it take to hire a head coach at Hallis Hall? And I know, man, I know this is an important decision, and these are high-level things, and these are big organizations with billions of dollars on the line, and they need a new stadium. But let me count. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 people who will be in on the interviews, and then they got to go and meet the business side of things too, the SVP people. Is that senior vice president? Is that what that means? I'm not fluent in corporate jargon. This is not instilling a lot of confidence, man. I was just talking with Ant Heron about this offseason and instilling some confidence back in Bears fans, re-sparking that fire And it kind of goes hand in hand with the thing we've been talking about this first hour. Who's the coach you're all in on? Actually gets you excited about Bears football again. Who's the coach you're out on? Keep sending those texts and dropping those voicemails. I'll read them and we'll play them throughout the show. 312-644-6767 for calls and texts. You know that. And maybe you don't know, we have a voicemail function on the Odyssey app now. Just search 670 The Score and then look for the voicemail function. But this is not a great way to start, man. That 6-7 people are going to be in on the interviews, and then he's got to go talk to the business side. This sounds a lot like what we've heard from the Bears in the past. It's concerning. How many cooks in the kitchen, man? How many cooks are in this kitchen, and why? Let me get in a quick call. Dave and Slinger, you're on 670 The Score. What's up, Dave? Dave?
Yeah, hi, I'm here.
Hey, Dave, you're on the radio. What's up, buddy? Go ahead.
I was hoping to get Ron Rivera for a coach. And after we beat the Packers, and I'm not sure if he think this or not, Jordan Love, did he think, just like Aaron Rodgers, I owe you the Bears, but we've shown him on Sunday he doesn't after we beat him? Do you think that?
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And a few people have texted in, Ron Rivera. I don't love that idea. I respect what Ron Rivera did as a Bear, and I'm good. You know what I mean? I've seen enough of Ron Rivera as a head coach in this league that I'm not really interested in giving him that position. Now, I will say this. The idea has been kicked around. I saw an article about it at The Athletic. I've heard people say it right here on the station, Olin Krutz and others, that, you know, it wouldn't hurt to have some, like, old school football minds and especially some old school football minds who have been in the building before and have actually done some things in that building to sort of be a sounding board for Ryan Poles and other decision makers in that building. I don't hate Ron Rivera in a position like that, but I don't want Ron Rivera as the head coach of the team. As far as Jordan Love and whether or not he thinks he owns the Bears, I've only heard Aaron Rodgers say that in his always enthralling weekly Pat McAfee hits, has said he passed on ownership of the Bears to Jordan Love. I don't think Jordan Love is quite there as far as the swagger yet to throw out an I own you. I think he's happy to get the nod from his predecessor and Aaron Rodgers and have that ownership passed along. But I don't think Jordan Love is really thinking about it. I think Jordan Love has his hands full just figuring out the NFL still after two seasons as a starter. Here's a text from the 815. Sean McVay had Thomas Brown as an assistant coach. I would like to get him a chance because I have no confidence in the Bears picking a head coach. I did say when the Bears named Thomas Brown as the interim coach, like, I hope he's the guy. Because I don't have a lot of faith in the Bears to hire the right guy through, like, having good people and the right systems and processes in place to go and find the right head coach. They're going to need him to fall in their lap. So I was hoping that maybe a good head coach fell in their lap in Thomas Brown. And by the way, that text was followed up, same one from the 815. They put Thomas Brown in a terrible spot this season. Agreed. There's a lot that goes into being a head coach that Thomas Brown did not have the opportunity to do this season, assembling your own staff, putting in your own plan as far as practice and an off season and all that, and setting the tone and the philosophy and the culture. Thomas Brown came into a broken culture and a broken team. But at the same time, going back to what I was saying in the first segment about a coach that I could be excited about, based on what happened in those five games, I wouldn't be excited about Thomas Brown getting the job at this point. Would I give him a chance? Would I be like, okay, show me? Yeah. I wouldn't be like, what the? No, I'd be like, all right, let's see. Maybe. There is an in-between of like, I love that hire, I hate that hire. There's an in-between where I'm like, okay, let's see what this is. I'm cool with finding out. What do we got to lose? We just lost 10 in a row. What do we got to lose? Keep those texts coming. 312-644-6767. If you're at work today and you're just getting in the car, or maybe you didn't have a chance to hear from Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren and George McCaskey earlier today, we got you covered. We'll give you some of the highlights of that press conference right after this. It's Rami Makhlouf with you on the Score Evening Show on a Tuesday night? I almost said Friday night. On a Tuesday night, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.